Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Thank you so much for being here today as we round the bend to the slopes of the Mount of Olives, Bethpage, and then the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It is so close now. Passion Tide has begun, so in many, maybe most churches, statues, crucifixes are veiled now until Easter Vigil. I know that's the case in our home with our olive wood crucifix. And never in our lives, I don't think, has life imitated this liturgical movement collectively as a human mystical body of Christ more than now, I believe. So I want to begin by reading a brief few lines from Holy Father's extraordinary Urbi et Orbi message this past week. Did you get a chance to hear it or read it? We had the transcript, so our family watched Holy Father, this solitary shepherd in an empty St. Peter's Square and St. Peter's Basilica, and then we read the full transcript of his message in English, that homily. And I think it lays the groundwork for us right now, this week, this Easter, and the days to come. So I just want to read a snippet as we begin the program today. The Lord awakens so as to reawaken and revive our Easter faith. We have an anchor. By his cross, we have been saved. We have a rudder. By his cross, we have been redeemed. We have hope. By his cross, we have been healed and embraced so that nothing and no one can separate us from his redeeming love. In the midst of isolation, when we are suffering from a lack of tenderness and chances to meet up, we experience the loss of so many things. Let us once again listen to the proclamation that saves us. He is risen and he is living by our side. The Lord asks us from his cross to rediscover the life that awaits us, to look toward those who look to us, to strengthen, recognize, and foster the grace that lives within us. Let us not quench the wavering flame that never falters, and let us allow hope to be rekindled. Amen. And that's just a small portion of that powerful message. So part of rekindling hope is to live as people of hope. As St. John Paul the Great said, we are an Easter people and Alleluia is our song, even though we're not allowed to say that right now. But in the midst of fatigue and isolation and deep sadness, I think that so many of us are experiencing and living in mounting intensity every single day during this pandemic, especially now, crying out to him when we ourselves have nothing else left, and to place ourselves, our loved ones, our family, our world into his nail-pierced, resurrected hands. And part of that is preparation. As Holy Father talked about fostering grace, we can do that in our ordinary routine, as simplified and scaled back as it is right now, from breathing to getting up to doing these very basic things that we are focusing on right now, the simple act of eating and getting through day by day. And that's what today's show is about. We have a special guest that's going to help strengthen those basic things, namely eating and some comfort foods, some beautiful ways to bring simple recipe menu items into your Easter menu. So let's jump in. Very excited to welcome the one and only Father Leo Padalinghug. You may have seen him on EWTN, maybe the Food Network. He is a priest, a member of a community of consecrated life, Voluntas Dei, and creator and founder of an international food and faith movement called Plating Grace, a chef, an author, a speaker, award-winning break dancer, two-time black belt martial arts instructor, and so much more. Here to give our day much needed flavor, salt, and light. Welcome to the show, Father Leo.
Thanks. Whenever I hear it, it just sounds so weird, but that is my life. And the fact that God called me really means that there's hope for the world.
I know. I mean, people might think I'm kidding about that, but you really are a black belt break dancer.
Yeah, I break boards, I break dance, and now I break bread.
Which is the best. Thank you. And all the places you could have put your talents, thanks be to God that it is for the kingdom, for our Lord, and for the new evangelization. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I want to ask first how you're hanging in there. You're in Maryland, Father, and can you tell us what things are like there? How are you doing in your family?
Well, we're only three states away from New York City, actually two states from New Jersey, and that's where the crisis is really strongly felt. But we have a lot of people who commute from New York because Baltimore is a little bit of a bedroom city for all of that. And I think just like everybody else, we're just in a state of confusion and perhaps even some depression to some degree. Me personally, I'm doing fine. But people along the cities and states close to the pandemic's kind of epicenter, they're feeling a little tension. What I will say is that there is tension for not only the virus, but also just to get back to life. So there is like a zeal to return to normalcy.
Well, I saw part of that right now, even though sadly we're all grieving. We can't enter into the sacraments in a physical way. Virtually through Holy Mass, we're all united. And I saw that you've been celebrating Mass live on Facebook. I also saw that you're doing the Stations of the Cross. And so at the end of our conversation, I want to make sure that people are able to connect with you. How has that experience been for you?
Well, as a priest who has always been kind of on the ground level, meeting the people, this is bad English, but meeting them where they're at, it has really just been a real heartbreak for not just me, but every priest, I think. We became priests to be one with the people. Now, there are some of us who are more introverted, and they kind of relish this reality of being secluded. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of that way, too. My temperament is dealing with this well. All of the things that we have to do on social media, that's very new for a lot of priests, and they're kind of uncomfortable. You can almost see it, that they're very uncomfortable with it. But for those of us who are used to the media, it just kind of becomes an extension of who we are. There are many times when I'm giving a talk and everyone's phone is up recording everything that I say. So I just tell them, make me look taller. That's all I ask.
Yes, because you have that compact kind of martial arts frame.
Just say small. That's okay. I'm a little guy. Just enjoy the Mass from afar. But the spirituality is still present. And hopefully people, when they watch it, it's a totally no-frills Mass. It's literally meeting people in their own home and celebrating the sacrament for them.
And I think it reminds us that that's all we need in the glory of the Mass, and it even shines through all the greater now, and it's really emotional to watch. So thank you for doing that.
And one last thing on that too. I think when people are saying, you know, I'm watching Mass from my own home, well, guess what? The church is your home too. So I hope that people can start to make the connection of feeling just as much at home in their parishes as they are in their family living room. Granted, the pews will not recline, but you need to feel as much at home in your church. And I hope you long for that.
I love that. We're trying to say that, I mean, cloister, because that just sounds a little bit.
You know, and I even say this too for that, because I just gave another little Facebook message on that too. But cloisters, people, they do it willingly and freely. We're being forced to it. And so what I want to delve people is like, you know, the quarantine sounds horrible, but there is maybe another word. Maybe retreat is a good way. Maybe an opportunity for just some good family time. Because remember, a cloistered person, they do it freely. Many people in quarantine, they're not free to do it. They're going nuts.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because we have the ability to choose. And I am not taking away the challenges. We ourselves, our daughter is autistic, and the routine is very difficult for her to change. There are some that have mental health issues, anxiety, depression, or simply a small apartment and a lot of people in there. So we all are facing unprecedented challenges. But again, what we can't control is numerous factors. What we can control is, I can either look at this as solitary confinement or a prison sentence, or as a retreat, as an opportunity to see God in the ordinary gifts of eating and breathing and the basic surroundings of my family. But we always, I think, need to be reminded of that constantly, because it sounds nice to say, but when you're in the midst of a lot of serious things, this is where the rubber meets the road.
Sure.
And as you talk about Mass and we talk about the Eucharistic table, we also, as you liken it to the cloister of our home and the domestic church, we have our family table. And as we approach Holy Week, Palm Sunday, and we're already now in Passiontide, Can you help us with a bit of normalcy? We're in our family planning on making pretzels. I love that. That's a tradition that I think goes all the way back to the 5th century. Yeah. But just, you know, the shape of the dough looking like arms folded in prayer, I felt like that's a comfort food and something simple that our kids could do. Could you maybe give us, because that's what you are in addition to a priest and all the other titles, is a chef. Give us some maybe basic staples as we go into this time.
So I would say take the pressure off of you because, first of all, groceries are going to be limited. And I say turn the creative skill on and turn those leftovers into something else. It's so easy to take any leftover and turn it into a pasta dish. It really is. Just chop it up finely, dump some olive oil, maybe a little bit of cream, maybe a little bit of fresh tomato sauce or just canned tomato sauce. Let that simmer all together. I don't care what it is. Even if it's fried chicken, just cut that up into small pieces and then toss that into some pasta and heck with a little bit of melty Parmesan cheese, or you can even use provolone. Hey, you can even use American cheese. I guarantee your kids are going to be like, this is my favorite thing. Although I am creating literally a series, a little retreat for Holy Week as we speak, and each day is going to come with a recipe. My Palm Sunday suggestion is to take the palms from the can, basically hearts of palm, and turn that into a delicious dish that is so fresh, and it could either be used as a salad, but I actually cook it down, and it creates almost like a nutty flavor as you would get with artichoke, and you can turn that into a lasagna, into a pasta, into like a cassoulet. So there's a lot of great things that you can do, but don't complicate it for this week, especially since, guess what? There are going to be a lot of limitations to what you can buy in the grocery store.
Right. That's right. I really appreciate this because I felt out of my league with you, Father, because you've cooked with like faced off with Bobby Flay and all these amazing chefs. And I'm thinking I'm just cooking in bulk right now. Very simple. Yep. But you're on it. I mean, you've got this. So I love that idea with palms. That's wonderful. So that's canned. I've never bought that before.
Yeah,
I'm thinking artichoke hearts. But what is that?
Same thing. So palm. Okay. Heart, it's literally the inside of a palm tree. And so I'm actually going to be doing a whole presentation and just making it available for folks about what Palm Sunday really means for people and how at one point those palms were eaten as a kind of remedy, which is one reason why they waived it, because Jesus was the remedy who can only redeem us and heal us if we eat him, eat his flesh and drink his blood. And so what, you know, just the idea of making a meal for your family, I think that at this stage of the game, you need to involve your family. You need to maybe ask them what they want to eat and you teach it to them so that this is a time of transmitting not just food for the body, but a memory. You can remember this from this point forward. Eat this in memory of the coronavirus and our struggle and our challenges. Isn't that what the bitter herbs were for? To remember their time in exile, to remember their time in slavery, to remember their time as they had to flee into the unknown. So even if the food is not good, make sure that there is meaning behind it, and I guarantee it will be one of your family favorites.
Even if the food is not good, you must have a video into my kitchen.
That would be creepy. That would be creepy.
Yes, it would. It would be very Alexa. But you know what, though? It's beautiful because it's true. You're transmitting, and that's the key phrase you said right there. More than just, we're putting this in our gullet, but there's a liturgy almost of that. That's very beautiful.
You said it. In the word liturgy in the Greek, liturgos, just means work. And it is a tremendous work this day, now more than ever, to try to feed your family and to try to make the peace and to try to, how shall I say, mimic the liturgy at Mass. Because what happens at Mass is supposed to be happening at your dinner table, and people aren't making that connection. So a lot of people always look at me as like, oh, you're just that little priest that does those cute little videos about cooking. And I want to say, you know, thank you. I've never been called cute before in little videos because I got a big mouth. But the reality is I'm trying to have people deepen their theological experience of Mass and your meal at home. If you separate the two, then you're doing both incorrectly.
Mm. What are your thoughts on the Seder meal, a Passover meal? I remember it was really big for a while, and then I was reading different things about it. There's been some question about if the faithful should do a Passover meal for Holy Thursday, making the case instead to concentrate on Jesus being the fulfillment of Passover. So is there a sweet spot with that?
Yeah, it's called not either or, it's both and. And a lot of people love to just create these controversies in the Catholic Church. And granted, you know, minutia matters, but it doesn't have to become a mountain. Really, it doesn't. And so take the Seder meal and Christianize it. That's kind of what we did anyway. It was a very 70s and 80s thing, very post-Vatican Council, but it was really an opportunity to try to reconnect with our Jewish brothers and sisters, which is not a bad thing to do at all, because they can teach us a heck of a lot about who Christ is, because he was a good Jewish boy. And so I think that if we are able to enter into the culture without it becoming a cult, then we're okay. Combine them. That's called fusion in recipe making. And guess what? Our Catholic faith is fusion. We're a combination of many cultures. Let's not poo-poo one over the other. Let's make sure we can find something to learn from each.
I love that. And you're right. It is the story of our history, from taking pagan buildings and basically baptizing them and making them churches and Christian. I remember St. Francis hearing that he would take these medieval hymns about knights and ladies and sing to Our Lady and make that a Christian hymn. So it is a beautiful idea. And do you have any staples, unleavened bread or lamb, that you like or suggest?
And particularly for this Holy Week, for sure. You know, in the Philippine tradition, we would always have some sort of long noodle dish, because that long noodle represents the longevity of the blessings. Kind of superstitious, but hey, it's a lot of fun to consider it. And it tastes pretty darn good as well. But I certainly love to focus on the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And, you know, instead of being so dramatic with these big lamb chops that we have to kind of contend with, I always just say, make it a portion. And, you know, if you get a rack of lamb and you just cut them down individually, they cook literally in minutes and they taste a lot better. And the temperature for it is more controlled. Some people don't like rare. I personally like it, but it's got to be medium, because lamb is so fatty, it's hard to chew otherwise. So I say, make sure that incorporate a little bit of these traditions. Don't make it the focus. At this stage of our history, just feed your family with something good and give them a taste of some spiritual food as a side dish.
Easter Sunday, then, any suggestions, a breakfast, a banquet at dinner time that would be simple into our own menus?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And actually, what I'm going to do for my breakfast is I'm going to combine all of the meals into one, and I'm going to have just like a big bruncher, which is breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? And so, and I'm literally going to be making some Monte Cristo sandwiches.
Oh, yes. Do you put the powdered sugar on there?
Absolutely, because it's got the ham, which, you know, like an Easter ham we always do. And being, you know, a Christian, I can eat cheese with meat. So I'm going to actually put a little bit of a funky cheese on it, and then using that beautiful kind of Jewish challah bread and battering it down, frying it in clarified butter, hitting it with the powdered sugar, hitting it with the sweetness of consolation, a little bit of fresh honey that I actually have from Jerusalem, and just drizzle it on top instead of maple syrup, and all of those flavors. That's going to be my big meal, because I'm not going to be with my family. You know, it breaks my heart. Again, like, I'm really being attentive to this quarantine, but it's not going to stop me from celebrating. I just need to make sure that even my family, as much as I love them, never replaces celebrating with Jesus, who is always with us.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to ask you. How are you approaching Easter? There's so many that we're in grief, and you know, when someone dies, you don't feel like celebrating. And the holidays, instead of being a balm and an uplifting boost, it becomes more acutely intense. And so I'm just wondering, for all of us grappling with the reality of the situation that we're in and the grief of so many lives already lost, but yet we are an Easter people. So maybe a sense of counsel that you could offer us in the way that you're approaching it.
Yeah, two things. I think one of the things is to be human and also to be spiritual. Our humanity is always going to experience a little bit of negativity. I mean, you got to know this, Brooke, that Easter time and Christmas time are generally times when people feel a lot of depression and a lot of suicides occur because they do feel alone. We also have to remember that for the Jewish disciples, you know, Easter wasn't a time for them just to eat like chocolate eggs. No, it was actually the beginning of persecution. So when I talk about this on a spiritual and human level, we just have to admit the truth about ourselves. And number two, we kind of have to grow up in our faith and not fear negative feelings. It is a part of who we are. That cross is still the center of attention. Even on Easter Sunday, we still have a crucifix as what calls us to prayer. And also just to remember that, especially for those listening to this show, that means that they either have radio, they have electricity, they actually have the internet. This is not bad for us. You know, if we have a roof over our heads and technology and the internet, we're doing like better than maybe, you know, 80% of the world. You know, we're still living in a lot of privilege. And so what I recommend is just to admit where the pain points are, ask God to say, well, how can I gain strength from it rather than that pain point overcoming my strength? And then thirdly, here's what I say. Order a really cheesy fatty pizza with a lot of pepperonis and then just literally have a Netflix night or Hulu, whatever you do. Put on like your big boy clothes and a blanket and then make sure your dessert is close by so that you don't have to walk too far. In other words, while there is this pain, there is also something that we can do and take pleasure in some little joys, including just hug the heaven into your children.
I love that. It reminds me of the scripture, weeping is here for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And that is the story of the cross. It's the roses and the thorns. It's the cross and the crown. And like you said, to acknowledge and to examine the pain points and to offer those up, to use that, because God uses everything, as we always say on the show, and also not be afraid of the stretchy pants.
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, when we work so hard, it's got to be for what end? When people exercise, it's because they want to either be healthy or, let's admit it, they just want to look good. And that is kind of related to pride. But when it comes to something like this Holy Week and Easter in this incredibly unique time of not America and not your neighborhood or not your city, it's the world, the entire world, the entire planet that God created is on a pause right now. Let's make sure that we don't push away the pain, but acknowledge it and learn from it. And then do something that does give you a little sense of ethereal joy. And just remind yourself that that is just a foretaste of what will come in heaven if I but bear this cross well now.
Amen. Well, like a good chef and a good speaker, you've left us wanting more. So how do we connect with you online? I definitely want to hear your messages. And you're going to be doing some food videos this week, right?
Yeah. So what we're doing, and I'll just be perfectly honest with you, we're going to be making them available for people who are willing to subscribe to the podcast with a very small donation, and they get full access, because generally these past few months and these upcoming months are our busiest time, but we have no source of income coming. Remember, I'm not a diocesan priest who gets money from the church or a religious that will always be supported. I'm a secular institute priest, which means I have to be a social enterpriser and entrepreneur for the kingdom. But people can always find out just by going to platinggrace.com. That's my website. Or they can find out information at my social media. I'm Father Leo and I feed people. Father Leo feeds.
And you do. And we want to support you. Thank you. God bless you. I am already hungry for pizza and lamb, oddly, but
that would be delicious, actually.
Hey. I don't know. And we will be enfolded, I know, into what you're doing online and want to make sure to pray for you as well. So thank you so much, Father.
Thank you. And God bless you all.
Thank you again to Father Leo Padalinghug. And you can find out more on all social media platforms, really. He's very active on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and his main website, platinggrace.com. That's where you can watch videos, click on live events, books, and merchandise, get cooking with some fantastic recipes, and find out more about the Table Foundation, which is a nonprofit. Again, that's platinggrace.com. Before we wrap up today, I just have a personal note. First is about our Arise Women's Retreat. It is an event that is a few years in the making and very close to my heart as a ministry and as my team, St. Gabriel Media. I mean, if you've listened to the show any length of time, you know already that this is just a labor of love to bring together women in fellowship, in communion with our Catholic faith, and to get stronger, all of us. But it's also an event in close quarters with people traveling across the United States and spending the weekend together. So like a lot of things, most things, everything pretty much, it has been postponed and on hiatus. So I wanted to make that announcement formally. The good news is that we were able to move the date to next Divine Mercy weekend, which is April, not this year, not 2020, but next year, 2021. It will be in April, so still the springtime, which I love, at the Jesuit Retreat Center in Cleveland, Ohio, and more details will be coming about that. But I know we are all in this together. We're praying for each other. We're grieving with one another and alongside each other, and also standing in joyful hope together as well. The other note that I wanted to share is also personal. I ended up sharing on Facebook because I think it's so important, and I wanted to tell you here as well. We had a difficult conversation with our children last week because what I really realized is if someone in our family were to need hospital care for any reason, we would most likely be alone for that. And even if we'd say, I'm not leaving my child, what if I was sick or my husband was sick and it wasn't possible to go with them to the hospital? We have 5 children ranging in ages from 18 on down to 8. And nobody wants to think about this. No one wants to imagine being alone and isolated. But I would rather lovingly prepare my kids than to deny this reality. And I think as we prepare our bodies and we quarantine and we prepare our spirits, we also need to prepare our minds and the minds of our children so they know not to be afraid, even if they are alone. God forbid that happen for any of us of any age. And research shows that an optimistic outlook, and you know, I know, we trust the power of prayer as well. We can actually back that up by science, making a solid case for how prayer heals and sustains and strengthens patience. And so I just wanted to offer what we told our children, and maybe this would be a starting point for someone that you know and love, just to psychologically prepare the reminder still that God is with us. And that's what we told our children. If in the event that they would have to go to the hospital alone or be by themselves in any way, that they are not alone. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on your guardian angel, the communion of saints, the Holy Family. The word of God is written in our hearts. So there is no place that we can go that is beyond God. And I think too, take a few scriptures. What are your scriptures that you love, that give you strength, and memorize just even a line so that you have it with you. When it's in your mind, it's with you always. But also too, if you cannot speak, if you're unable, that every beat of your heart can be a prayer. If you begin to fear, if an upsetting thought creeps in, to focus on your breathing, imagine yourself getting stronger, your body healing. Also to offer up any loneliness for others who are lonely, for others who do not know the companionship of Jesus, to pray for the nurses and the doctor and their protection and endurance. I think it was also important for us as parents to ensure our children that we are not going to be afraid if we are alone. Don't fear for us. God is loving us with a love for which there are no words. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was asked to drink from the chalice. We will be asked to drink from the chalice at some point in our lives because we were made for this. And of course, we all hope to remain healthy and strong and protected. And someone had shared on, I think it was Facebook, and said, you know what, Mr. Rogers, he did not run away from serious topics. He talked about things like divorce and death and tough things and loss, but did so in a way that would lovingly prepare the children. And I think that we all need that preparation, ourselves, our children, our family members and loved ones. So just a reminder, and always for God's grace, to wrap our words, our thoughts, our hearts, and our minds in hope. And that's my prayer for you today. God bless you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.